I just want to make clear, this is just a mic and pastor gave it to me. When you see wires coming out of my pocket, there's nothing else. So I just don't want you to be nervous. Before we start, I would like if we can stand together and pray. Many of our brothers and sisters in Iraq, Syria, other countries, they are going through persecution right now. And the Bible asks us to pray for those in prison chains. Many of them, their kids being beheaded in front of their eyes. Many Christian women being captured, being raped. This is not 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, but no, it's happening right now. And we do have brothers and sisters in California that they lost their loved ones just a couple days ago. We need to pray for them. Lord Jesus, we do lift our brothers and sisters across the world, Lord, those going through suffering right now, Lord. Those that they lost their loved ones, Lord, those that right now in prison waiting to be killed. I pray that you may reveal yourself to them, Lord Jesus. I pray that they may know that they are not forgotten by you or forsaken. They will feel your presence right there, Lord. Lord, you promised to give peace that no one else can give. A peace even in the midst of the fire, that we will have that peace because of you. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, I pray that you give them that comfort, that peace. Lord, also I do pray that you give them the ability to love even their enemy at this time, Lord. Give them the boldness to stand even in the midst of that, to share your love and your story with those around them, Lord Jesus. Lord, you ask us to love our enemy and to pray for those who persecute us. And Lord, I do want to lift right now the leaders of ISIS. I do want to lift the leaders of Hamas, the leaders of Hezbollah, the leaders of Al-Shabaab, the leaders of Boko Haram, and all these different terrorist groups, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, you changed Paul, and you are able to change each one of these people, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask for nothing less than the salvation of this people. They may turn around and follow you as the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, we thank you so much that you are in the business of turning what meant for evil to good. Thank you for the thousands of Muslims that are questioning Islam and leaving Islam today, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray right now that you may anoint me, you may give me the word to share with my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seen. Our ministry is Ministry to Muslims. Please visit our website when you have a chance, ministrytomuslims.com. And you're going to find all our upcoming events, which you already given a flyer with that. And please keep that flyer in your Bible, because I want you every time you read your Bible, which you should do every day, I want you to be praying for our ministry. We need your prayers. But also, you can join us locally. We go to the Islamic centers to give Bibles to the Muslims. Every second Sunday of the month, we are at the Fellowship Hall, and you are all invited this coming Sunday, next week, for we have appreciation dinner. But if you come to Sunday night service with Pastor Bill, I don't want you to come to that dinner, but I want you to come from 2:45 to 5:45. We have a special training. We have a former Muslim. She's from Iran. She came to know Christ. She's going to be sharing her story, and she's going to be sharing, especially with the sisters, how to share the gospel with Muslim women. It's going to be a great opportunity. Every second Sunday of the month, you can come to 2:45 to 5:45 for training. You can bring all the questions you have. If you're dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, anything to do with apologetics, please bring it in and come and join us. Now, the topic today, overcoming the fear of reaching Muslims. Fear what is stopping Muslims from coming to know Christ, because the penalty of leaving Islam is death. But also fear what is stopping the church from reaching out to Muslims. The fear of violence. But also for the Muslims, they have a different fear as well, not just the violence part. And I'm going to be talking about that as well. And for the Christians, you have another fear stopping you from reaching out to Muslims beside the violence. But before we go there, I would like to read these passages, which is Paul's prayer toward Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Even though this is Paul's prayer toward Israel, this is my prayer toward the Muslims. I born in Sudan, I lived among them, I have many Muslim friends in Sudan and even here. I know they are so zealous, they are so passionate for what they believe. They think they worship the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac, and the biblical God. They think that, but the truth is they are not worshiping the God of the Bible. They think they're serving the Creator that created the universe. They think they're obedient to Him when they kill people. It's out of ignorance, not according to knowledge. Who is the God of this world? In whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes, blinded the mind of them which believe not. Who is the God of the world? Satan, a liar and the father of lies. In the Quran, in chapter 3, verse 54, it says, and they were deceiving, and Allah was deceiving, for Allah the best of the deceiving ones. The God of Islam, by his own admission, saying that he is the best of all deceivers, he is the father of lies. He is Satan himself, by his own admission. In your English translation, part of the Islamic deception, they change it from deceiving one, to planning, the best of all planners, let's say. But is that true? Absolutely not. If you go to any Arabic English dictionary, the word makarat has no positive meaning, but negative meanings. But you can say to your Muslim friend, let's say Allah the best of all planners. That's fine with me. Do you trust Allah's plan for your life as a Muslim? Can you trust God of Islam? In chapter 7, verse 99 in the Quran, it says, where they feel secure from the plan of Allah, none can feel secure from the plan of Allah except people that shall lose. According to Islam, if you trust Allah, you are losing in the day of judgment and you're going to go into hell. You are going to hell if you trust the God of Islam. Praise God that everyone in this room does not trust the God of Islam. But who is the one trusting the God of Islam? Muslims. Who is the one accepted and believed the best of all deceivers? Muslims. Simply, my friends, Muslims are deceived. Muslims are blinded. Muslims are not our enemies. The majority of them coming to this country to be free. And the only way for them to be free indeed is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. To reach out to these people. The best of all deceivers. It's very sad that they cannot trust their own God. It's very sad. Killing and violence, I cannot lie to you. It is in the Quran. There's nothing about the Quran but violence and killing and blood. There's nothing good in Islam. ISIS are Islamic. Even their name, their title, contain the word Islamic. ISIS are following Islam. The shooting just happened a few days ago. That's a product of Islam. There's nothing else for it. The Quran clearly says, kill those who believe not in Allah believe in Allah and the last day, and forbid not what Allah and His Apostle have forbidden, and who do not practice the religion of truth, which is Islam, amongst those who the book has been brought to them. Among the Christian and Jews, simply, what is saying? Those has the book, the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament. Those that did not become Muslim from the, among the people of the book, you need to kill them. The word, the English usually they use only fight. That's not fight. The word in Arabic is qital, is driven from the word kill. It is simply entering a war with weapons. You kill them or they will surrender, not give their lives. Islamic means surrender, because you usually come with a weapon and you have to lift your hands and surrender. That's what it means. It does not mean peace. The word Islam does not mean peace. It means surrender. You have to surrender or you have to pay jizya, protection money. It's not tax. It is your country. They're coming to take over and you make you pay protection money in order to live there. This is the clear Islamic teaching. But I want you to know one thing. Anytime the Quran say anything, don't assume that Quran does not say the opposite. Always, in everything, if Islam said one thing, the Quran, if it taught one thing, also the Quran teach the opposite as well. We're going to see there's verses in the Quran, it says no compulsion on religion. Muslims use that all the time. But how they know which one they should follow? In Islam, there's a theology called abrogation theology. When Allah speaks now, He cancels what He spoke before. The chapter 929, the one verse I just read to you, that one of the latest revelation, cancels 125 verses, that peaceful verses about Christian and Jews. Muslims do not follow these verses. But you're going to ask me, why did it not remove these verses from the Quran? For the purpose to be used when they are minority in a country like today. When they are minority, they will use these peaceful verses, just as the time when these verses were revealed to Muhammad, he was using them when he was a minority. But once they have the upper hand, at that time they will let you know about, they will introduce abrogation theology to you and they tell you to become a Muslim or to be killed. But I'm not telling you these things for you to be scared. That's not my purpose. But at the same time, I cannot just tell you love the Muslims and not telling you the facts about Islam. You need to know the facts, but we fear is not for us as Christians. Jesus did not surprise us with these things. He told us, these things I have spoken into you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be in good cheer. I have overcome the world. We are in the winning side. Even if it looks dark around us, even if there's hardship, He never promised us that we're going to have fun when we come to know Christ. He told us we're going to have persecution. He told us to carry the cross and follow Him. Persecution at the moment for many of us is a choice to stand and fight politically, or to speak out against the killing of millions of babies in this country. It's in our hands if we did not speak up. You may gonna be persecuted at your work and lose your job for speaking about that. You may gonna be, if you just encourage your children to pray in school, in public school today, they may gonna be kicked out of school. But persecution at the moment may be a choice to many of us, but the time is coming, and coming sooner than what you think, where it is not an option. You're going to follow Christ or not. Pray for our new generation. What do really they have in their priority to be number one for them? Pray for that. they're going to face Islam in an unbelievable way. The sword of Islam and the beheadings, it will be here. I'm not trying to scare you. This is reality. Our brothers and sisters right now, they're going through this. We are not better than them. When Israel went out of line, what happened? God will raise their enemies to take over them. We are not better than Israel. We went against God in every way we can as a nation. We don't deserve a better president. But pray for God's mercy upon us as a nation. Do your job. Vote. 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 I was born in Sudan. My parents were born in Sudan. My grandparents born in Syria. But even though my parents born in Sudan, I was born in Sudan, I did not have that right to vote. You have that right. Vote. Don't try to be smart and see who will win against the other side. No. Vote for the person that loves God and seeking God and God directing that person. Because even if he's not expert in military, even if he's not expert in military, even if he's not expert about all these things, if he's guided by the Lord, he will do amazing things for us. We trying to put someone that will win against Hillary or this and that, or that's the problem. That's the problem. We vote for someone, just his name has different label, but he's the same. Let's vote for the people that after God's heart. Now, the violence attacks and the fear, creating fear on us, to blocking us from reaching out to Muslims. Violence is blocking Muslims from leaving Islam because the penalty is death. But what is the other attacks, the Islamic attacks against us? We have a fear of reaching out to Muslims because we don't know what kind of objections they're going to bring against us. What objections they have? They attack the deity of Christ, and that's foundational in Christianity. In order for Jesus to save us from our sin, he has to be perfect. He has to be sinless. He has to be God, and God alone is without sin. This is attack in the heart of Christianity when they're denying the deity of Christ. You need to know how to defend the deity of Christ. It's not an option because the Bible tells us to be ready to give a defense. Attack on the crucifixion, and Paul clearly said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. We need to know and we need to take the Islamic attacks against the Christian faith seriously. Our young people, we can ignore it, thinking that it will go away by itself. But actively, in every university and college, there's something called MSA, Muslim Student Association. They are actively reaching out to our children. 25,000 or more Americans every year converting to Islam. Why? Because they are ignorant about Islam. They don't know what Islam really is. One fact. Islam teaches that if you just assume that Muhammad is black, he should be killed. Let's face it, how many African Americans will convert to Islam if they know that one fact? Young ladies, they will tell me, oh, he's not really practicing Islam. I'm dating this guy. He's just a Muslim, but he's not practicing Islam. Have you ever seen a cigarette box? Maybe before you come to Christ, maybe? I don't know. It's a warning, right? What the warning say? If you smoke that, you're gonna get a cancer? No. You say you have higher possibility of getting a cancer. I'm not saying every Muslim is a terrorist, but I'm saying being a Muslim, following the Quran, you will have a higher possibility of becoming a terrorist. If one Muslim, one moment of his life, he realizes that he is not a good Muslim and he wants to repent and he wants to be a good Muslim, what he gonna do? He gonna take Muhammad as an example, and Muhammad is terrorist. Muhammad was a terrorist. If he did any action, if he copied Muhammad, he will be worse than ISIS organization. We need to know how to respond to these arguments they have. The Bible did tell us in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give an answer or defense about the hope that we have. Very important. It's not the pastor's jobs. It's for every one of us to know what we believe and how we can defend. You're going to defend the deity of Christ from the Bible. You're going to defend the crucifixion from the Bible. What they're going to do? They're going to finally attack your Bible. They're going to tell you your Bible being corrupt, your Bible being changed. I'm going to give you the next 5 minutes, a shortcut to answer every Muslim objection. Be attention to it, and you can always watch it in the website of the church. It was recorded last night to write down and take notes with these verses. Start, not go, don't go from the beginning, the deed of Christ and all that stuff. Go with the Bible right away. Let's see here, just to give you better understanding to it. They believe that Allah, He's the God of the universe. He revealed the Old Testament, revealed the Psalms, and revealed the New Testament, and He also revealed the Quran. They believe that, the same God. They believe that God trusted the Jews, the followers of David, and the Christians to protect their books, but they did not do their job. They corrupted the books. But now God finally learned the lesson, and He say He will protect the Quran Himself. But how? How can I trust a God that He could not and He failed to protect His book 3 times? How can I trust a God like that? He did not know the future, that the Christian and Jews were going to corrupt the book. How can I trust a God like that? Where we start here. My Muslim friend, it cannot be Bible and Quran, both of them true. Why? Because they contradict each other. The Bible says Jesus is God, the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. The Quran says Jesus is not God. Jesus did not die on the cross. And that's questionable too. I can show you from the Quran also Jesus died on the cross. But the majority of Muslims in the world held the position that Jesus did not die on the cross. God took him and put someone else on the cross. God deceived the whole universe, even the best followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples, the mother of Jesus, to think that Jesus died on the cross, but God took him and put someone else. They say maybe Judas, maybe Barnabas, maybe someone else. But that's linked to the verse, they deceive, the Jews deceive to kill Jesus, but Allah deceived, and Allah the best of all deceivers. He deceived what? He deceived all of us. He created the cult called Christianity. We are all deceived because God deceived us. He took Jesus and put someone else on the cross. The disciples went and preached that message. They were killed for preaching a lie that Allah, because Allah made it appear to them that Jesus died on the cross. It doesn't even make sense. But Jesus did not die. Jesus died. Jesus is God. Jesus is not God. One of them have to be true. If the Bible is true, word of God, and not being corrupted, then what? The Quran must go. But you're going to ask me, if the Bible being corrupted, can the Quran be true? Let's see. What the Quran says about the Bible, and let the people of the gospel to judge by what Allah has revealed therein. If the gospel being corrupted, why Allah asking us to be judged as Christians by the gospel? That's showing that the gospel is a word of God and it's reliable and good enough for us to be judged by it. The next verse, O people of scripture, the Christian and Jews, you are on nothing until you uphold the Torah and the gospel. You Christian and Jews, you are nothing. You have no ground to stand upon unless you act according. Muslims tell you, we believe in the Bible, we believe in... No, it did not say believe, it say act, uphold the Torah, follow the laws of the Bible. How can your book telling me to follow a book that's been corrupted? The next verse in chapter 10, verse 94, it says what? Allah speaking to Muhammad, if we have doubts about what we reveal to you, ask those who have the book before you. Muhammad is supposed to be coming and asking us as Christian and Jews. Muhammad did have doubts when the angel came to him. He thought he was demon possessed, which is true. He was demon possessed. And he, instead of him coming and asking us or asking the Christian in his time and the Jews, they were going to tell him the truth that he's not a prophet. He was ordered to come and ask us if he is having any doubts. Now, from the previous verses, we see that the Bible, Gospel, and the Torah, both Old and New Testament, according to the Quran, they are reliable word of God. When you see in the last verse here, in chapter 6, verse 115, it says what? None can alter his words. Not word, words. Not just the Quran. All his books cannot be altered or changed. There's nowhere in the Quran it says the Bible being corrupted. Nowhere. Now, the challenge to the Muslims, how can you telling me the Bible be corrupted. If the Quran says the Bible is the word of God, then no one can change God's words. Now let's go back again to the picture. Now, if the Bible is true word of God, the Quran has to go because it contradicts the Bible. But if the Bible been corrupted, guess what? The Quran is still wrong because the Quran says the Bible is a word of God and it cannot be changed. And if it's been changed, then the Quran failed. No matter what, the Quran is not option for mankind to follow. My Muslim friend become an atheist before you use this argument with me to telling me that the Bible being changed, because your Quran telling me the Bible is not being changed and never going to be changed. We need to equip the new generation to know how to respond to these things. These are too many verses for you to use, but use these two only. People of the gospel, judged by the gospel, none can change God's words. Just put the references, 557, 6, 115. When you're talking to a Muslim friend, tell me, what do you think about those verses? Now, we know we have the Bible, that the inspiration was perfect. When the Bible inspired, not just people memorizing it and writing it down, or not even just the apostles were remembering what Jesus saying and they wrote it. Jesus told them, when I'm lifted up, the Holy Spirit will remind you with all the things. The Holy Spirit, as they writing, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were like the pen in the hand of God to write the word of God. The inspiration of the word of God is reliable. There is no bone. Some people trying to say the Bible like food, you take the food and throw the bones. There's no bones in the word of God. From beginning to end, the word of God is inspired word of God for a purpose of teaching the body of Christ. Even when the Bible reporting stories and things that happen for the purpose for us to learn from them. But we never claimed that the Bible coming down from heaven. We never claimed the Bible as printed book is an eternal book that coming down. We never claimed there's no changes or mistakes and things like that in the copying of the Bibles. In the King James version of the Bible, there's some verses that is not exist today in some of the other versions, or they have it, but they would say a footnote, this is not found in the older manuscripts. But these verses does not change anything from the essential teaching of the Word of God. What happening sometimes, there was when people writing, copying the Bible, they will put a footnote, and the next person want to copy it, he will think that footnote is part of the Word of God and he copied. But when they found the older manuscripts, they found that it's not included and they removed it. At least we are faithful, we examine these manuscripts when we see them. There's no more evidence than the evidence that we have for the Word of God. For the New Testament, we have 5,800 manuscripts. Manuscripts. Does anyone question those, what they call Shakespeare or whatever it is, these poems? Nobody questioned them. Why they are only coming and questioning the Word of God? None of these people have evidence like what we have for the Bible. The Old Testament, even if we say, okay, we don't trust the New Testament, take it out of the way, take the Old Testament. We have what? How many prophecies being fulfilled in the New Testament? That how can the Jews, those that they reject Jesus as a Messiah, how can they come and agree with us to change the Bible? From the Old Testament, we can see that Jesus is God. We can see the crucifixion in Isaiah 53. We can see all these things that from the Old Testament to approve and to give reference to the essential teaching of the New Testament, from the Old Testament. There's no place for corruption. The Dead Sea Scrolls has multiple copies of the book of Isaiah, multiple copies of the book of Psalms. The only thing missing in it is the book of Esther, which make no difference in our, based on regarding our essential teaching. Does not, even if it's there or not, it doesn't affect anything for us. The Dead Sea Scrolls goes 200 years before Jesus, 800 years before Muhammad. During the time of Muhammad, they brought him a Jew to judge by him, to judge him. He told them, you bring the Torah, the Old Testament. He took the pillow from under him. He put the Torah, the Old Testament on it, and he sweared in it. He said, I believe in it. I believe in you, and I believe in the God that sent you. Now we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, goes 800 years before Jesus, that match what we have today. And in the middle here, Muhammad is swearing it and say it is reliable word of God. And until today, Muslims, they don't go with the Quran, with the punishment for adultery. They go with the Old Testament. The Quran never mentioned the stoning. They go with the Old Testament because Muhammad, he chose to go with the Old Testament that day. How can Muhammad judge by the Old Testament if it is being corrupted? But let's see the claims of the Quran. Eternal, perfect, unchanged. This, as I showed you, these claims can, not even the Bible can make these claims. But let's see if the Quran made these claims. The youngest wife of Muhammad, she was between 6 to 9 years old when he married her. He was 54 years old. Aisha said two-thirds of chapter 33 of the Quran, over 130 verses missing from that chapter alone. How can he tell me it's perfect? Also, Aisha said, the verses of stoning, it used to be in the Quran, they removed it, but they go with the Bible now. The stoning and the breastfeeding an adult 10 times, don't ask me what's that all about. And the paper was, when it was revealed, and the paper was under my pillow, and the messenger died, we were preoccupied by or with his death, and what? 10 sheep came and ate it. Guess what? These pages are not in the Quran anymore because the sheep ate it. Allah cannot protect the Quran from a sheep. He finally learned the lesson. He took the task of protecting the Quran himself. But one thing here, if the sheep ate the Quran, would not be smiling at all. Now, this chapter 33, verse 6, this phrase in the bottom, and he is the father of them. This part is not longer in the Quran as well. How can he tell me your Quran is perfect? Allah relying on the Muslim to memorize the Quran. The word Quran, it means to recite. When the Quran say people of the book, it was not meant Muslims. Why? Because they did not have a book. The Quran was meant to be just kept in memory. The only reason they start making it as a book, because Muslims, since the day Muhammad died, they start killing each other. They were afraid to lose the Quran, and that's when they start collecting it and put it in a book format. But it was meant only to memorize. The word Quran, it means to recite. Here, one of their scholars, one of Muhammad's students, says, due to laziness, they lost 2 chapters of the Quran. We're doing our own translation, accurate translation of the Quran in our ministry to have it available for people to know what the Quran really all about. We also inserting commentary from their own books because they have hundreds of books, not just the Quran. They have the Hadith, they have the life of Muhammad. The Hadith is set after set, like hundreds of books. Instead of you reading all these books, we're making it all in one book with commentary, but also every time the Quran attacked the Bible, we are defending the Bible in the footnote to show you how we can do that when you're talking to a Muslim. But we returning 2 chapters, the 2 chapters back again to the Quran to show them. And Muhammad, he said, if he forgot the Quran, go to these 4 of his students. He said they are the best memorizers of the Quran. And one of them is Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b, he said, these 2 chapters must be added to the Quran. But Muslims chose to go with someone else that he was not even one of the 4 people. If we want to be obedient to Muhammad, my Muslim friend, you must return those to the Quran. And in that moment, you cannot tell me anymore that you have only one Quran. There's a lot, many different versions of the Quran in Arabic, not translations. There's 6 manuscripts for the Quran, and maybe even more, but these 6 manuscripts, the only 6 manuscripts that they really examine by Turkish, the only ones examine them actually, these 2 Turkish scholars. And what they saying in the bottom here, they saying none of this is Osmanic. Osman, he is the 3rd successor. He's the one collected the Quran and put the authorized copy of the Quran that we're using now across the world. And they say none of them match that Osmanic Quran. How can he tell me it's perfect? How come he tell me it's not being changed? Look the mistakes they found. taping, the covering words, insertions, the inserting word in between words, erasing and overriding without erasing. This is a problem, my Muslim friend. They really believe they have a perfect, the only evidence really that Muhammad is a prophet because the Quran is perfect. The Quran is not perfect. The Quran is not eternal. The Quran is not perfect. The Quran has been changed. But who has the eternal, perfect word of God? Christians or Muslims? According to the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the perfect, eternal, unchanged Word of God. The Bible tells us about Jesus. From beginning to end, the Bible tells us about Jesus. The Quran does not tell us about Muhammad. We cannot compare the Bible and the Quran. The Hadith tell us about Muhammad. The Bible tells us about Jesus. But when you compare the Bible with the Hadith, they have big problems. Hadith is full with thousands and thousands of contradictions and problems. The Bible, there's no contradictions. It's divine word of God. Here, the Hadith, by Muslim admissions, it's a word of man, not God. But Jesus meet the claims of the Quran, eternal, perfect, unchanged. Jesus met that claims, but the Quran failed, as I showed you today. But do they agree that Jesus is the Word of God? Yes, they do. In chapter 4, verse 171, it says, the Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, is but the apostle of God and his word. According to Islam, Jesus is the Word of God. Do they agree that Jesus is perfect? In chapter 19, verse 19, the angel giving Mary the good news that he giving her son, he called Jesus a holy son, sinless son. According to Islam, Jesus is perfect, eternal, perfect, not eternal, perfect word of God. But we know God created the universe by his word from the beginning. We know Jesus claimed to be before Abraham, I am. We know Jesus is eternal. Then we do have the perfect, eternal, unchanged word of God, Jesus himself. Amen? The Quran is not eternal, Jesus is. The Quran is not perfect, Jesus is. The Quran has been changed. Jesus never changed. He's always faithful. He's always with us. That's what we need to give to the Muslims. We need to tell them about who Jesus is and how they can trust his promise. They cannot trust their God promise, but they can trust Jesus. Muslims claim that Islam is a religion of peace. It's a false claim because we've seen the Quran and we've seen the teaching of the Quran. Muslim friends, if you want to really have peace, then follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. We know the answer for this problem. I promise you, the Islamic challenge, it will not go away. I promise you that Islamic challenge, this war, the government is not going to win this war. This is a spiritual warfare more than anything else. The only way we can win this war when we are in our knees praying to the Lord. When we are praying that to the Lord to reveal himself to these people in dreams and visions. When we overcome the fear and go out and reach out to these people. Brother Andrew was open door years ago. He said, if we did not go to the Islamic world with the love of Christ, they are coming to us with the sword of Islam. And we already seen that. And I'm telling you now, it's not an option. If we did not go to their homes, if we did not go to their stores, if we did not go to their mosques, they are coming to us with the sword of Islam, to your home. We should not be reaching out to them out of fear. We shouldn't be reaching out to them out of fear. We should be reaching them out of obedience to our Lord and Savior. It is time now, as this Islamic terrorism growing, Muslims are questioning Islam. They are so open to the gospel message. Last week we went up north and to train a new team there, and that the Lord connected us with this Muslim refugee family through someone who was just walking in the street by their home and met them and started talking to them. And this individual knew one of our guest speakers in Chicago. They called Chicago, and he called me. And what an amazing thing that we already working with this new team. And they, I did not know, a day before I called them to tell them about this refugee, they were all praying, God, give us an opportunity here to reach out to these people. And when we called them, they went to visit them. They were all sleeping in the floor. No beds, no mattresses, nothing. They helped them, they got them furniture, they get them stuff. And it's the amazing part, when we told them, one family, they start coming to their church, new family, they did not know about them. That Sunday morning, they filled their truck with furniture and stuff they don't need. And they were gonna sell it. They say, the Lord put in their heart, no, you're gonna give it to someone. They came to church without knowing anything, with the truck packed with the stuff, almost everything that this family needs. And it was just 100% God prepared that for them. They went to them, but we wanted to bless them with some money, but we found out that they were a cook. They have a restaurant in Syria. And instead of just giving them money, we told them to cook food for 20 people for Thanksgiving party on Saturday, not on Thursday. And we hired them to do that. But after that, we invited them to come and eat as well. And when we went, it was an amazing time. As the father was opening his heart with me in Arabic, his English is not that good, a little bit worse than mine. he started sharing about his brother. He was driving the car and his brother right next to him, and his brother was killed by a sniper at that moment. The next day, in front of his house, he has one room. He opened it as a restaurant to go food, and that's how he make money. Right in front of his restaurant, a rocket landed, and 13 young kids died cut to pieces. And he just started crying, and I hugged him, and I asked him if we can pray for him. One of our brothers, his name is Kevin, he asked me to ask him, what should we pray for? And he told us to pray for peace for my people. And Kevin was praying in English, and I translated in Arabic. The mother in the other living room talking to Christian ladies, she heard us praying for Syria. She came. The son came, 17, 18 years old. The 16 years old daughter came. The 11 years old son came, and the 9 years old daughter came. They all bowed down, lifting their hands as we prayed in Jesus' name. Tears in their faces, crying. They just felt the love of Christ. These people are not terrorists. They are victims of this false religion. They can be free indeed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's reach out to them. Just recently, a couple days ago, she text messaged me. She said, you guys are my family. You guys are my family. They felt the hunger and the thirst of the love of Christ. We're continually sharing the gospel with them. Please pray for them. His name is Muhammad and his wife, Iman. And their sons, Yunus, which is, I think, Jonah. And Yusuf, which is Joseph. And I don't remember the daughter's names, but keep them in prayer. There's many people like them. From political side, yes, there is people coming with the refugees that are terrorists, and you do need to pray for wisdom for our government, to filter them, to interview them, to find out who, all that stuff. You do have to do that. And remember, being a Christian does not make you a bad citizen. Do your job as an American citizen. Vote, call your congresspeople, stand for what's righteous and what's right. But in the same time, no, persecution is here, and pray for God to give us the strength to go through it. In the lobby outside, there's DVDs, gifts, not for you, for you to take to give to a Muslim. There's the Jesus film with 16 languages, cover 98% of the Muslims. There's the Jesus film for women with 8 languages, cover many different Muslims. Please take some with you, keep them in your car, in the club department, whatever it is, and when you meet a Muslim at the gas station or some Muslim walking in the street, just take it and go to them. In order for us to reach every Muslim in America, we must all come together and look beyond a building the church, the body of Christ, we all have to join hands. As long there is a line we have to draw, we cannot work with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Oneness Pentecostal, and all these cults, but born again Christians, let's not divide the body of Christ. Let's work together to win this war against Islam. The real victory is not when we finish and kill all the Muslims. The real victory when the Muslims come to know Christ and join us and pray and worship Jesus as our Lord and Savior. A church not far from here. The pastor died. The son took over. The son converted to Islam. The church turned into a mosque. Not far from here, less than 15 miles from here. A church in Buena Park, a Baptist church on Valencia and Magnolia, became a mosque. This is reality. This is true. Please join us. I cannot do it alone. I need your help. I need people to come with me to the mosque on Fridays. We need help. If you are boss of your work and you are able to change the hours, come on Fridays. We have lunch at 11 in Dennis. We go after work to the mosque. Just stand outside giving Bibles as they're coming out. As you, God put in your heart and you start feeling more comfortable, you can start opening conversation with these people. It is an amazing thing. They stay with us 3 hours, 4 hours, just talking about Jesus. They are so open to that. We have many different ways that you can partner with us. If you're sponsoring Bibles, if you're coming and getting trained and training other people, if you are good in reviewing English, you want to help us with making tracks, we need to use your gift, whatever it is. Would you please meet with me afterward? There's in the table, there's a small book there. If you can write your name and email, let's keep in touch by email as well to keep you updated. But you have the calendar, keep it in your Bible, pray for us. But if you are coming to the dinner, would you please, in front of your name, mention that you are coming for the dinner next Sunday. It's Italian food, great food, right, Pastor? You go to Marie's Pizza? We are not serving the pizza side, but their food is great food. They're donating the food for us, and it's going to be awesome time. Plus, we have an Iranian sister. She's going to be sharing her story, how she came to know Christ. Please join us. It will be a joy to have you guys with us. Let's stand together, and I would like Pastor Mark to pray for us. And I don't know if Tony's here now or... Yeah, Tony, come here. He's going to sing a song for us to close, but Pastor Mark, after that, he's going to pray for our ministry. Remember, without prayer, we cannot change the heart of the people. And remember also, when you're reaching out to Muslims, it's not your job to change people's lives. It's your job to present the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one change their hearts. And the price and the burden is not on your shoulders. Jesus took care of it in the cross. He already paid. We are already in the victory side. We just need to be obedient to the voice of Christ as He's leading us out to reach out to these people. He ordered us. He said, go. And He promised that we will not go alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, when we open our mouths, He gave us the word. What else we should worry about? What we're lacking is the obedience of the body of Christ. Every Muslim in America will hear the gospel if we should say, I, each one of us, I'm going to reach out to the Muslims. Would you join us, please? Thank you.